the importance of, with your vision, having a plan to execute your vision. Because you can get up every day, you can look at that board with those, you know, those powerful words and those images, but what is your plan to accomplish what you have on the board? And so actually sitting down to map that out is an extra piece that I think is extremely helpful.
You're listening to It's Larry G Radio, a podcast centered around story, motivation, and learning, hosted by me, Larry G. I'm a photographer, filmmaker, musician, content creator, and marketer. Here, you'll find a mix of my YouTube and Instagram show episodes, thoughts on marketing and business, interviews and chats I've had, and much more. Today on the podcast, we have Miss Kimberly Spruill. Kimberly was referred to me by Alaric, a guest from my second episode. She's the author of Grace for Purpose, Discovering God's Plan for Your Life. We had an amazing discussion about her book, speaking, domestic abuse, encouragement, and so much more. We were joined by my wife, Erin, for this interview, and we had a great time. Even though there's considerable background noise, I hope you are encouraged by this episode and that your life is better for it. Enjoy. All right. So we're here at Lighthouse Coffee, and I'm here with Miss Kimberly. How do you say your last name?
Spruill.
Spruill.
You got it.
So tell everybody, I already said your name, but what do you do?
So I am a speaker. I'm also an author, and I do a little bit of everything, but I also teach. I teach middle school special ed inclusion, but my big focus is just on writing as an author and just sharing my story with other people. I think it's important that we do that because that's how others overcome, by, you know, you having the courage and the boldness sometimes to just share what you've been through, just unashamed, unapologetically.
Right.
And that kind of just opens up conversation, dialogue. And I just really believe it brings forth deliverance for people who just kind of suffered in silence and felt like they were going through certain things alone. So.
Very cool. Alaric connected us.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that you wrote a book.
Yeah.
What's that about?
So Graced for Purpose, the name of the book is Graced for Purpose, Discovering God's Plan for Your Life. And I share my journey to discovering my God-given purpose. It took me almost losing my life to discover what that was. May 2016, I almost lost my life due to domestic abuse incident. And despite how traumatic it was and devastating it was, that is the incident that helped push me just completely into the will of God, to the point where I was just unwilling to do anything, to make decisions without his, you know, without his counsel and that type of thing. And so from there, I got healed and delivered from it. And so over time, then God revealed to me that his purpose for my life is to help others discover their purpose. So that's what Grace for Purpose is about.
How long has your book been out?
It's been out since February 25th, 2017. So over 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've been on a speaking tour? Like, you've been going around speaking about it?
I have been speaking about it, but it wasn't like I set an official tour. It's like once the book came out, you know, kind of just word of mouth, I started doing a lot of vending. And so I got my name out there through the city. And then after a while, people just started reaching out to me. Listen, we want you to come and speak. Or, you know, someone would say, this is going on, we're looking for someone. But it hasn't ever been like an official tour. It just kind of turned into one over time. So, yeah.
Okay. And you have merch and stuff?
I do. I have my Grace for Purpose shirts. I got pins. I got, of course, my book. I have the Grace for Purpose journal, which kind of can accompany the book. At the end of each chapter in the book, there are what I call time of reflection questions. And so there's some of the same questions that I had to ask myself as I was going through my healing process. So I think that's a great supplement. And what else? I have some earrings. Those are the main things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little more about why you wrote the book? Like, I know people go through domestic abuse and they escape, but what drove you to actually write a book?
To be honest, the Lord told me to write it. I never wanted to write a book. I'm very private. I never even considered it, never thought about it, but I'm very private and I don't like people in my business. I don't like to share all of my business. But one night I was... I was in the midst of, first of all, I was wanting to create a business, right? Mm-hmm. And so this business would, I would have seminars and workshops and things like that to help women discover their purpose. So February 25th, the actual day that I released my book, and according to my plan, it was supposed to be a business launch, but it turned into a book signing and a launch. And so as I was deciding what I was going to do, I was battling between, was I going to create a curriculum or was I going to write a book after I heard the Holy Spirit say, write the book. And so I was battling with it, and I just heard, write the book. And so I said, okay, I'm going to write the book, but Lord, I need you to cover me. Because, you know, you, like, you talk about domestic violence. It's so, people do not want to talk about it. It's something that's kind of hush hush. I mean, people are coming out, but I'm a leader in my church. And so I'm like, okay, I got to deal with the opinions of these people. You know, what are they going to say? They're not going to, you know, believe whatever. And so it was just kind of a battle. And so I decided to do it, and I'm glad I did. So it's been a blessing. I don't regret writing the book. Mm-hmm. It's really, made me realize that a lot of people who were around me, people that I would see every day at church, had endured some of the same similar situation as me, but they had never talked about it because they were ashamed. And it also made me realize that no matter how old you are, you know, one lady, one of my church members, she's like 70 something years old. And she said, Kim, I read the book and it made me realize that I'm holding on to something from my childhood that I have not released. And so it's just been a powerful tool. It's transparent. I didn't think that I could be as transparent as I was in this book. Like I said, just very private, you know, person. But I think, for one, I call this book My Act of Obedience because I did what God told me to do. But then two, I feel like it freed me because there were some things that I would talk about. Even when I went through, I say I suffered in silence because I didn't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to tell my mom. I wasn't telling anyone until I was ready.
About the abuse of the book?
About the abuse. Only a handful of people knew that I was writing the book. But even my mom, I had to tell her, I said, listen, I'm writing this book and you're going to find out some things about me that you did not know. And so I kind of just sat down with her and told her, you know, this is what happened. Of course, she was heartbroken because I didn't feel comfortable enough to tell her because I was ashamed and I was embarrassed. And the guy that I was with, she would have been like, no, ma'am. You just, that's a whole nother story. But so it's been awesome. But one of the things that I do talk about in the book is just being mindful of who you're connecting to. Uh-huh. I met this guy online through an online dating website. It's called Tagged. And we met there and we started dating. And from the beginning, unbeknownst to me, he wasn't being truthful. And so, you know, if you don't have trust, you don't have anything. And so we just can't be quick. I know ladies and maybe men too, sometimes we go through these seasons or these spurts of just feeling lonely and just wanting companionship. And that's kind of where I was, just wanting companionship. So I jump on this online, you know, this dating website, meet this guy, they give you a little bit of attention, your head get big. Then before you know it, you're in a relationship. Then before you know it, you're having sex. And God is like, wait, where am I in this equation? You ain't come and ask me nothing. You ain't ask me about this man. What are you doing? And so because we do have free will, but because we want what we want, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we don't go to God because we know he's going to say, no, ma'am, no, sir. You know? We know it, but we want what we want so bad sometimes. And there is a consequence for stepping outside of the will of God. There's a consequence for making your own decisions. And so one of the quotes in my book is, no matter how big or small, consult God in it all. So whether it's a romantic interest, whether it's an associate, somebody on your job, you've got to, you know for sure if this is someone that you should be connected to. So that's one of the themes of the book.
Wow. You talked about the business launch. Did that also happen outside of the book, or did the book help that?
That is kind of like happening now. I believe it was last year. I thought I was kind of finished with this book and ready. To be honest, I had already started writing like part two of this, but I never felt released to release it because there's still much more to do with this. And so there's more business stuff picking up now, you know, courses and that type of thing, and more speaking. So I'm not done with Grace for Purpose yet. The first one. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah. Sure.
Where have you done your speaking?
Oh, I have done speaking at women's conferences I've spoken with one of the big organizations here in Baton Rouge, the Butterfly Society. I've spoken several times at their domestic violence events. I've spoken at camps. There's a camp in Texas that I go to, and it's for troubled teens. And they have an option of either going to jail for the weekend or they can come to this camp. And so we talk about purpose. We make vision boards. We talk about what vision is, why it's important that you have one. But then it's also a good time for them to disconnect from the world, social media, and do, you know, have that in a personal interaction with other people. So canoeing, rock climbing, archery, like all of those things. And they actually enjoy it. So done that. Where else have I spoken? I've been to, of course, different churches to speak to like their youth groups. So I've done that. And other little author events. Yeah, so.
I think just coming from my background, I have an undergrad and master's in a master's in social work. And I know, like, having you speak to the students that are in those helping professions would be really beneficial for you and the upcoming professional.
Okay. So absolutely. I would love to.
Or like, there's an organization in Baton Rouge called STAR. It's like the sexual trauma.
Oh yeah.
That would be really good too.
One of my classmates from I went to the Southern University Law Center, and one of my classmates, she worked there, but now I think she's running for office in some kind of capacity. Morgan LaMondre.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've heard that name.
But... Mm-hmm. So, I would love to do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, just that's what kept up, like, different organizations. Because, like you said earlier, just telling your story in itself is super empowering.
Yeah, like, I met a woman the other day. And long story short, I went there. This lady is 70 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say her name, but there's a reason. So anyway, she's 70 years old, and long story short, we were just talking. Somehow we got on the topic about domestic abuse, and she shared her story with me, how she was married to this man for, I think, 8 to 18 years, and literally tried to kill her one day. After he beat her down, he, like, crushed the right side of her face. Blood was everywhere. This man had a flight already ready, left her, thought she was dead. But long story short, of course, she lived through it and she remarried. And she was just saying that she's happy, but she still has not healed from that. And that was 30 years ago. So healing, the process is different for everybody. Like, you don't put a time limit on that.
No, everyone's trauma is different. Mm-hmm. It affects everyone so differently. Like, there's no way you can, like, there's no outline to how you heal.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like a daily decision every day. Okay, I've got to heal from this. Like, I cannot stay here. I can't stay where I am. I've got to heal. I got to move forward. So, yeah.
The book is broken up into, I see, three parts, really. Do you want to see this? Okay. Can you, like, describe why you broke it into three parts, or, like, describe the three parts of the book?
Sure. So I broke it up into three parts because my process, I feel like, was broken into three parts. So you have this purge. The first part is purge. The second is prepared. And then the third is propelled. So the purge part comes from we get ourselves in, you know, this situation. I got myself in this situation, but by the grace of God, I'm still here. And so when God wants to do something in your life, then he's got to cut away at the things that displease him. He's got to cut away at that low self-esteem. He's got to cut away, you know, of unforgiveness. He's got to cut away at these things so he can build you back up. And so the purge portion, I called it like my wilderness season, because I felt like I was all alone, even though I know God was there all along. You know, he was with me while I was going through that time. But I called it my wilderness season because it was just me and him. And during that purge time, it's like God had my attention. I gave up watching TV for 3 months because I knew, for me, I need to get healed. I need to get delivered. There's nothing on TV that I need right now. And so during that time, the only thing I wanted to do, and then too, it came with a made up mind. I had to tell myself, okay, I'm not going to stay here. I've got to move forward. I refuse to be bitter. I refuse to live in unforgiveness. The Bible talks about how, you know, God can't forgive us for our sins if we can't forgive our brother who has wronged us. Right. And so I understood that. And so that was kind of a hard time, because you think, like, how in the world, how did I get here? How how did I allow, you know, this to happen to me? So basically the guy in the book literally tried to kill me, strangle me to death. And so you go from, you know, helping this person, doing all that you can for him, and then to just snap one night. It was literally like a one-time thing. It was like random.
Just flipped in his head.
Like. Yes. And there was a point of that night where I tried to call the police. And he said, who are you calling? And I said, I'm calling the police. He said, okay, you can call the police all you want, but I'm going to whoop your ape. Until they get here. He was like, as a matter of fact, I'll kill you. So I put the phone down. So I'm not going to test him to see, you know, what happened. So I was able to get out of there. But that's just a hard, kind of a hard season. And then, you know, just trying to move forward. It's easy, I think, to stay bitter, to have thoughts of resentment. But for me, I knew I had to forgive, and I did. Not long after it happened, I had forgiven him. So when you go from there, then I go to the second part of the book, which is prepared. So, God is not going to send you out to accomplish and do his will, you know, unprepared. Right. It's not going to happen. And so with this building up, I gave up, like I said, I gave up watching TV for 3 months. The only thing that I wanted to do was just worship, read my word, pray, go to church and repeat. that's what I needed. I understood the importance of staying in church. A lot of times when things happen, we like to run away. People like to run away. They like to stay away, but that's the time to kind of lock in. That's the time to lock in. So that is prepared. And so just reading the word, I read the word, like, I was like, Lord, I never read the word this much before. Mm-hmm. And so then I was watching. Have you ever heard of Periscope?
Yeah.
Periscope. So I started watching Periscope, and there were a couple of people up there that I would follow. And it's just so amazing how, you know, God will send people into your life at the right time that can speak into your life. And the people that I were following on Periscope, I ended up becoming friends with one of them, and actually got to meet several of them. And so, you know, it's just a time of growing. I was just hungry and thirsty. And so at the same time, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a leader in my church. So like, I got a key to the church. I do the announcements. I was over the dance ministry. I record the message, like some of everything. And so even during that time, nothing went undone. So I was going through hell, but no one knew. And so that just kind of speaks to during this purging and the prepare time, like just taking off that mask and just being honest with yourself, and then rediscovering your identity, because you can go through these things and sometimes you'll believe that you are this broken person. You are this person who has low self-esteem, and that's not true. So just getting back to who you truly are in Christ, and really just pulling off those layers mm-hmm. of pain, and getting down to the core of who you truly are. And so then, and the propel part. So after being healed, and I had told God at the beginning of the year, I had my vision. I was asking him, you know, why did you create me? And so I heard two words, vision board. And so I heard of vision boards before, but I had never created one. So I had a vision board fellowship, and everything that I had put on that board, like, started manifesting that year. One of the big, big things that I really wanted to do was to speak to women and young girls and to mentor them. So I created my vision board. I believe it was in January. By February, I had a mentee. And so things were just lining up, and God was just, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how God would do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And I was just witnessing how you hear people say that God will blow your mind. Well, right. I started witnessing what that was like. Like, I would have a thought, or I would want something, and it would just kind of happen. Not that God is genie, he's a genie in a bottle, but it's like he was just really honoring me, I think, for one, going through and enduring, continuing to trust him through the process, and then nurturing my relationship with him. And so doors started to open. I emceed my first event. Speaking engagements were happening at church. I was teaching, you know, the singles class and all of this stuff. And I was just like, wow. And so then it's like, okay, you ready to go forth. You may be scared. You're not going to know, you know, step A to Z. You're not going to know all the in between, but just trust me and walk with me. And I'm going to connect you to the people you need to be connected to. So it's definitely a faith walk. But yeah, so.
Awesome. I'm glad you talked about vision boards. I actually have one. It's hanging up in my office right now. I'm a big, like, this is my second or third one. I'm a huge fan of vision boards.
What I love about vision boards, at some point it seemed like it just became something to do, you know, but it's just like you, what I learned, and this is the extra piece that I like to contribute when I have my vision board fellowships. I don't like to call them parties, but anyway, the importance of with your vision, having a plan to execute your vision, because you can get up every day, you can look at that board with those, you know, those powerful words and those images, but what is your plan to accomplish what you have on the board? And so actually sitting down to map that out is an extra piece that I think is extremely helpful.
So my first question was, and I wrote down one word, and because I couldn't, I was trying to listen to you and form the question at the same time, so I kind of got lost. But so forgiveness, how like I'm sure why, because I know with some clients that when you go, like you said, it's really difficult to forgive somebody, especially in that magnitude of what they've done.
Right.
So when you're doing your talks and you're speaking and you're mentoring somebody, to them, what happens when to them forgiveness just seems like out of the question? Like, how do you get them to a point where they understand the importance of it?
Well, for me, I go back to, and not to beat people over the head with the Bible, but at the end of the day, when you can forgive someone, that's like a relief. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're dropping all of that weight. You're trying to hold on because you want to be so mad at them, and not to discredit what has happened to you, but it's just like that forgiveness is for you to let them, those people go. Like my pastor says all the time, some of us, you know, you mad at people from 20 years ago, they went on about their life and you still mad about something. So it's just like there, you know, that unforgiveness is taking up a space, you know what I'm saying? It burdens you. And so for me, I always say, if we can't forgive those who wrong us, then God can't forgive us for the things that we do. And then I just tell them also, just like I expressed a little while ago, like the importance, it's a daily decision to forgive, because it's easy to say, oh, I forgive them. But then when you see them, you feel a little something, you feel a little way, then you haven't really forgiven them. And that's okay, but just being able to acknowledge that, okay, I haven't quite forgiven this person for what they've done to me, but I'm deciding every day to walk in forgiveness. And then the other thing too is, although you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you have to reconnect.
And I think a lot of people misconstrue that as forgiveness means that I have to continue my relationship.
No, you don't. And a lot of times, so it's just like, no, you don't. You don't have to be bothered with them. But you know, that I truly believe if I see that man walk through the door, I can say, hey, such and such, how you doing? Now, are we going to be sitting down eating together? No.
That's a strong, powerful thing.
We're not. But I know, and I truly believe, I haven't been tested on it yet, but I believe that I can see him and say, hey, how you doing? And keep it moving and not feel nothing. So that's how I would tell him every day, daily decision. And then knowing that you do not have to reconnect. Forgiveness does not equal reconciliation or reconnection.
And another thing that I was wondering is, and I know you said what you said earlier is that you don't beat people over the head with God, right? I'm one of those people, and I told Alaric the same thing, where I am in constant battle with faith. So what do you tell people like me, like if I went through a domestic violence situation, how, like, what would you tell me?
How to overcome it?
If I wasn't fully, like, if I don't fully trust God.
If you don't truly trust God? I would say, when you think about the reasons, at some point you did, right? And when you think about the reasons why you trusted him, knowing that he's always there, he's a present help. It's just like you have to go back to the word sometimes and say, okay, be reminded of the reason why he died for you, that he died for you for a reason. And then just believing that you're still here for a reason. So that means that there's something for you to do. And then, you know, throughout life, you go through trials, you go through tests, and God brings us through them. And so it's not for us to hold on to them, but to share them, you know, with other people. So I believe just going back and just being reminded of the work that he did do, and knowing that he does love you, that he does care about you. And then sometimes I think sometimes we blame other people for some of the things that happen to us, right? Like just using a little bit of wisdom, you know, we don't consult God about things. And so we get in situations that we don't necessarily need to be in. And so I would just say, just be reminded mm-hmm. of what he's done, that he does love you.
That's true, because I know there have been things in my life, I've never experienced anything like that, mm-hmm. but there's been things in my life that just can't be explained by anything but God. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And my question here was, do you think being transparent about what you've gone through and helps enlist their trust and faith in God?
Yeah. I mean, the Bible talks about how they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so you never know how your testimony is going to help someone. But we can't help anyone if we got our mouths closed, right. You know? So it's important that we share, that we're as transparent as we can be. Now, there is, I think there are, I don't know if I want to call them degrees to transparency, but you don't have to tell every single thing that has happened to you, because you have to use discernment.
Right. Because
some people can't handle all of what you share. And so based on the setting, who you're talking to, where you are, then you'll kind of, you can gauge what to share, when to say it, how to say it, that type of thing. But definitely transparency. People want to hear that. Mm-hmm. People want to hear that. I mean, we live in a world, social media, where everything is perfect.
Right.
But you see these same couples on social media, they got the perfect pictures, they got the perfect families, and literally going through hell, mm-hmm. you know? And so people want to hear, okay, I see you look like you going on. You look like you got it going on, but people want to say, there's something. I know you've been through a trial or test. I know you have, because no one's life is perfect. Right. So transparency is key, especially for this generation that we live in.
Mm-hmm. And I know I found it very helpful, like during times of grief and trauma in my life, he's always been very like.
Yeah, I grew up in the church. Faith is a very important part of my life.
And it's never been in mine. So when I met him, we were together for a year and a half, and then my dad passed away, and he was my best friend. Mm. We were very close. Mm. And when he passed away, I was in such a conflict with my faith.
Right.
And just the stories and experiences that he had opened my eyes to the experience that I had, that I had no clue what it was. Just being transparent with my own feelings and him being honest with me, I learned a lot.
And having someone that you can share honestly and not feel judged, I think is a major thing too.
And that's what you're doing for these
people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no judgment zone. Just, and I'm literally, women have come to me, and some of them, I don't even know, never met them, but just, you know, I'll meet them at the event, but just not knowing them. And they will literally come and just pour out their story. And some of them have never told anyone. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's an honor that a complete stranger will come up and share their story, because it can be embarrassing. It can be humiliating. But I think that's courageous to do. One of the things that I did last year, I had an event. It was called the Beautiful Souls Speak Gathering, right? And so basically it was just an opportunity for women who have overcome or survived or overcome, because I think surviving and overcoming is two different things. But it was a day for them, a few hours for them to succumb and share their story. Some of them was their very first time sharing. And it was like kind of like a room of strangers kind of, and they all felt comfortable. And it was just a beautiful day. At the end of the event, we had like a balloon release outside, and it was awesome. So
let me tell you about those balloon releases. I don't know what it's about, but it really does make you feel good. It was like a grief support thing. Mm-hmm. We did one, and it was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, your cares, you're just letting go. Just saying bye-bye to it. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful.
Kimberly, Aaron, and I will continue our conversation shortly. But I want to take this moment to thank you for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to do so. If you're enjoying the show, consider subscribing and sharing it with someone you think will benefit.
You say there's a difference between surviving and overcoming. Can you explain about that a little more?
So to me, surviving is just like you made it through. Mm-hmm. But how did you make it through? You know what I mean? Like, you can make it through something. If we talk about, you know, domestic violence, women have gotten out of domestic situations, but just because you survived it doesn't mean that you're healed from it. So for me, overcoming is you're healed from that thing. You overcame the hurt. You overcame the devastation. You're free and you move forward. Surviving is you got through it. You made it through, but you may not be healed. You may not have forgiven. So it's all those things that could just kind of be lingering that hinder you from crossing over, right, over into full overcoming. So that's my personal opinion.
Goal, it sounds like, is
to overcome. Yes.
Like you can survive through a lot. But yes. You have to overcome.
Yes. Right. And so this year I'm having another event. I'm super excited about it. And it's still, you know, the beautiful soul speak, but this year the theme is celebrating the overcomer in you. So I'm excited about
that.
It's going to be, Saturday, October the 26th, still getting like the time together, but it's going to be on a Saturday. When are you releasing this?
This will probably come out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
So like mid-September. Yeah.
It's going to be at the Red Shoes on Government. It's like a women's center. And it's going to be beautiful. I'm just believing that it's going to be a packed room. I'm believing that there will be it's going to be a melting pot of races in there, and ages. I mean, from young, I want to see teenagers in there. Domestic abuse is happening in middle school.
Yeah.
It starts with a push and a shove, and it's a hee-hee and a laugh with it. But no, keep your hands to yourself. You know, so seeing all ages, different races, I'm just believing it's going to be a great time of not only fellowship, but healing, a lot of time of a time for release. You know, some people just need to cry. Some people just need a hug. Mm-hmm. Some people haven't been embraced in who knows how long. And so just having that interaction with other women who have overcome, I think it's going to be powerful. No, not that I think. I know it's going to be powerful.
Right.
I know it is. Yeah.
Do you have a Facebook page and stuff that you list your events on?
So I have a Facebook page. We are getting the website. We're working on that now.
The website for the event?
Yeah, okay. For the event. But my website on Facebook, my name on Facebook is Kimberly Sproul, and I post, you know, different things up there and on Instagram. So this is new because this year I'm collaborating with a young lady by the name of Marion. And so last year I didn't collaborate, but I do understand the power in connection and collaborating.
Yeah.
You can get way more done, you know. So I'm all about quality over quantity all day.
Is this event also going to be on your website? Because I know I went to your website and checked it out.
So yes, my website is actually being now Grace for Purpose. I'm working on a different one. I'm getting the Kimberly Sproul together.
Yeah.
So that should be done by this weekend, hopefully. But that would definitely be up there, and I'll make sure to put up, you know, upcoming events, that type of thing. So
right, and you like, her links and stuff are going to be in the show notes, so you guys can definitely check that out.
Okay.
So I would be happy because I'm very connected with a lot of groups on Facebook,
mm-hmm,
and the School of Social Work, and obviously it's a very happening topic in the schools of social work that I've been to, so I'm happy to share it with them.
Okay.
That event.
Oh, wonderful. That'll be awesome. Oh, you're about to make me cry. I'm telling you, like, this is the day before I met the lady that I just told you about, the 70-year-old lady. There's a lady at my church, and after church, she said, Sister Kim, they call me Sister Kim at church. But she said, Sister Kim, I wanted to tell you something. I was supposed to tell you this a long time ago. And she started to share with me how she had, she was involved in a domestic abuse relationship as well. She told me she got shot in the hand and all this other kind of stuff. And I was just like, wow. And so people are really holding these things inside, but it's just something about people knowing that they can come to you that you're not going to judge them, mm-hmm. you're not going to make fun of them, but that you're going to embrace them, you're going to pour into them and truly listen and accept them for who they are. I think that's how we overcome. And one of the things that I think too, that I know, even in churches, like leaders don't share their story all the time. And so people have this idea that you have to come into the church and you have to have it all together. But even for the souls that we win, the Bible says that he who wins souls is wise. So for even those that we're trying to win to Christ, if you can share, you know what? There once was a time, like there's a minister at my church. He's like a dad to me. And he shared at one time when he was younger, like how he tried to commit suicide. But look where he is now. Like people need to hear that. Right. And so if the leaders can be honest, then we can see, you know, some of the people that we're leading will come.
Right. I think that that's really important. And I think that's why our relationship is the way it is because I've never been beat you over the head with a Bible, try to make you go to church or try to do anything. I just live my life the way I do.
There it is.
And
when I remember one day we were laying down and he and I asked him about it and I was like, can you help me understand this? Can you read this to me? Because
mm-hmm.
to me, the Bible is extremely confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And he then told me that he had been praying that I had asked that I would ask him for that. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
See, it's those kind of things
mm-hmm.
where it just opens your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, it's I'm one of those people that believes that yes, we should go out and share, but I think in the world that we live today, there's a lot of people who go out and try to beat people over the face with it, and that's not cool.
Yeah.
And for people like me, it does push you away. Mm-hmm. It makes you close up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think when people are curious enough, they ask, and then that's your time to share. And that's where I get, like, I'll tell personal stories. Like, I'll give specific examples of how I know it's God and not me or anything else. And it's completely up to that person whether or not they want to do something about that or talk further. Like, I don't think I've ever pushed you in a direction at all. Like, some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. And that's love. I mean, love is what draws, you know, people. And so. That's true. You don't beat them up over the head, but you live your life in a way that is like it's undeniable that you're a child of God.
Right. Or you live in a way where people question, like, you're going through the same thing I'm going through. How come you're not like this?
It's true. Like I learned a long time ago not to worry. It doesn't mean that I don't get concerned about things, but sitting and worrying about them, I don't do it. What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You adding stress, you losing sleep, you losing hair, you isolating yourself. I'm serious. It's just like, it's like a downhill spiral or whatever they call it. You start in one place and you start thinking about it and then you start thinking about it more. Now you're up at night. Now you're not sleeping. Then you're waking up agitated and you're grumpy because you didn't have enough sleep. Now your relationships are suffering. Now you're not eating. You know, and you do all that you can to try to put this thing, to try to figure it out on your own. And it's like, what do we need God for if you're going to try to figure it out on your own? So it's really a faith walk. It's really trusting him. But I learned not to worry. And so I think once you get to that point and you realize that God is your source and he's your help, then let him figure it out.
Right.
Do what you can do, but try your best not to worry.
So motivation to keep going. You said that you wrote this 2 years ago and obviously you were being obedient to what you think God was or what you know God was telling you to do. How do you keep that same, as the kids say, keep that same energy like from when you wrote it to now? Because just from having this conversation, you thought you were done with this and you're not.
Yeah, I just think... I know that the ultimate goal is to touch as many lives as possible. And so there's always work to do. But there are times where you just get tired. But you just have to be reminded of your why. Why are you doing this? For one, because God told me to do it. But then two, I know the impact. And I know and I see how lives have been changed because of it. And so, like, you just can't give up on it. That's like my baby.
Right.
That's my first book. That's my baby. I got to keep nurturing it and, you know, finding other avenues and ways to reach different people. And so you do get tired. And But it's like, there's no giving up, because I know, like, you know, ultimately my goal is to travel the world, and I know it's going to happen. But to travel the world and be in, you know, all kind of avenues and, you know, people who don't look like me and who don't talk like me, to get them to know the God that I know and the God that I serve. So I just say, remember your why. And the other thing that I know is important is having a journal, to write down your goals, to write down your vision. Even like, I dream a lot, and a lot of times I don't know what this stuff means, but even writing down your dreams, or, you know, the things that you just would love to do and think outside of this box of limitation, you know, that we have, and revisit them. Like, I looked in one of my journals, you know, I think it was last year, and I was like, oh man, I forgot I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So keeping those ideas in front of you, having an accountability partner. Hey girl, you said you was working on this. Where you at in the process, you know?
Yeah.
So all of that is important, and that's how I stay motivated, and really just prayer, a lot praying. Pray. That's the way that you communicate with God. And even in the mornings, God talks to me a lot in the shower, to be honest. I get a lot of ideas. I'm telling you, I get a lot of ideas in the shower, and like, I literally have to hurry up and make sure that I write them down, because your mind will fail you. So just a lot of prayer, and then listening throughout the day as well. That's going to be big, because it's in prayer, and even reading the word, that he'll release different nuggets into you, and you'll begin to see things that you've never seen, and you'll see them in different ways, and you'll change your perspective. But you're not going to get all that if you're not staying connected to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something? Oh, I love that you talked about journaling. I went through a period of where I would wake up every morning and write stuff down. It started from just, like, today I did this, to yesterday I did that, to me writing a list of I ams.
Ooh, about to make me shout.
I started writing down a list of I ams, and it was everything from husband to father, and we weren't married. I don't think we were married. No, we weren't married at the time, and we don't have kids. But it was just a list of I ams, and then it turned into like I ams and dreams and goals and all kinds of stuff. And I fell off from that, but hearing you talk about it makes me want to start it again.
Man, I know this ain't number God. Let me tell you, one of the things that I do is in my journal, I got one in the car, but in my the journal that I made, at the bottom of each page, there are I am declarations, and there are scripture to go with them. And so you got the date and the time at the top, because it's important to be able to look back and reference time periods, right?
Right.
And then I also created this sheet. It's nothing but I am declarations. So yes, I am a child of the Most High God. I am favored. I am his beloved. I am grace for purpose. I am his righteous, whatever, all of these things, because you have to remind yourself daily, right, of who you are, because situations you'll go through, you can forget, and you forget, and you'll feel a certain way, and no God, you're still this person,
right?
And so that's just so powerful. You have seen the movie Overcomer?
I have.
Okay, y'all gotta go see it. That's all I'm gonna say about that. And you'll know the part you'll see once it gets to that part.
Is it on Netflix or something?
No, it's at the movie theater.
Oh.
Priscilla Shire's newest movie.
Oh,
I think Taranisha shared it on Facebook.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, y'all gotta go see it. But once you see it, you'll know the exact part that I'm talking about. Based on what you just said, you'll know it. But it is powerful. And so those are one of the things that I do when I have different events. I make a point that we speak, you know, who we are over our lives. So that's powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I have is how... I know people go through domestic abuse, and sometimes they just tell it to one person, or they tell it one time and they're done. How do you find the strength to keep talking about this?
Because I've been healed from it.
Powerful.
I mean, that's how. I think it's difficult to talk about when you haven't been healed. Like, if any time, and not to discredit anybody's feelings, but I think if every time you talk about it, then you're breaking down and you're crying, then you haven't been healed from it. And so, like I said earlier, healing looks different for everybody. My process, it didn't take long for me. But then too, for me, it was like, God was like, what are you willing to do to get this healing? Are you willing to disconnect from social media? Are you willing to disconnect from these people? Because at that time, I felt like I was just by myself. It was just me and God. I wasn't, you know, of course I had my friends, but I wasn't hanging. Like, I wasn't going to the cigar bar no more. I wasn't doing none of that. Mm-hmm. I was at home and I was in my world, but that's what I was willing to do.
Right.
And so it's just like, what are you willing to do to get to that place of forgiveness, you know? But I can speak about it all day because I've been healed from it. And I'm not ashamed.
And it's very
true. It's my story. And I'm not making nothing up. And I know it's going to help somebody. Right. Now, before this happened, I would never be this transparent, but it's true. I'm healed from it. And I'm forgiven. So
I think that's with any trauma. Like earlier when I mentioned my dad, I still cracked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better than, I mean, when it did happen, but yeah. I'm not fully healed from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you how long it takes for different people.
And it's okay. When you can acknowledge that I'm not healed from this, I think that's a powerful thing, because sometimes we can be in denial. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's okay. If you're not healed, it's okay. But you're working toward,
right.
You're working yeah. toward every day. You're making a daily decision. I'm not going to have a pity party today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can remember, you know, my dad. And yes, I may cry sometimes, but I'm not going to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's really, and I know I've brought up grief and I even mentioned sexual trauma earlier, but what you're doing helps with all kinds of trauma.
Mm.
And your story may be specific to domestic violence, but yeah. It helps with everything.
Right.
So that's a plus there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all of it from the motivational stuff that you said, not only to help people heal, but the stuff after that, even after you've overcome, the vision board and the dream, not the dream journal, but the journaling part, all of that stuff is stuff that's not just helpful with overcoming that, but just being a better person yeah. in general overall.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Definitely.
You're doing so much.
God gets the glory. Cause listen, if I had it my way, I would have never wrote that book. Like I said, I never thought about writing a book. But I was out and about one evening. I came home. I remember like it was yesterday. I backed into the parking lot and parking space. I opened up the door. My left foot hit the ground and I heard write the book. And I'm looking like, who? Who? I know you ain't asking me nothing. I had an attitude because I know what I heard. And I was like, I cannot. I'm stomping up the steps, slamming the door. I can't believe you asking me to write this book. I don't want people to be in my business. I was just like, it was tough at first. And I was like, okay, I know what I heard. And then I tried to get out of it by, deciding even for the business, writing a book or just writing a curriculum. Not in a curriculum, you don't have to tell your personal business, but if you're going to write a book, then you're going to write a book.
Right.
If you're going to tell your story, then you're going to tell your story. So I was like, you know what? Let me just write a curriculum. And just to show you how just amazing God is, when I was battling with that time, I was talking to my friend and she had just started a writing course. And it was called Pray, Write, Publish. And she told me about it. I was like, oh, girl, that's awesome. Not knowing that I would be a part of it. So when I decided that I was going to write the book, I called her and I said, girl, I'm just going to go ahead and write the book. She had me to sit down and list the pros and cons of writing a book or a curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so I went and did that. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to write a curriculum. And then my spirit wasn't settled about it. And that's another thing, too, when you're making decisions. Like, if you don't have peace about it, your spirit is unsettled. If you kind of in the middle, something don't feel right, then you need to wait a little bit. But we know that haste makes waste. So I told her, and she was like, yes, I knew that you would write the book. So I started in the course maybe like a week or two late. But I caught up. Tell me why out of the... I think she had 10 people in the course. 10 or 7. I think she had 7 people in the course. I was the only one to write my book.
Wow.
Because I had a deadline. Because I know what I heard. And so I had to do it. But even just that, even when I decided I was going to write the book, I was like, man, they have coaches all over social media. Oh, I'm a book coach. I do this. And I was like, I don't just trust anybody with my story, with my business. And so lo and behold, I met her on Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
And so we became really good friends and she walked me through the process of writing this book. Yep. So I started mid-November 2016 and the first week of February 2017, my book was done. And the book launch and the release was the 25th of that month. So it was, everything was happening fast, took a lot of sacrifice, a lot of discipline. It was tough. I can't lie. Because even when, you know, I talk about that night, it was May 22nd to 2016. And that's chapter two of the book. I titled it The Night I Died. But even having to live through that again, it's like I was living through it to write it. Oh, so, my God, it was so tough.
Soon after.
Yes.
That's really
oh, my God. It was. That happened in May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 6 months later,
yeah,
write the book.
Do you find that writing the book was therapeutic for you
now? Yeah, it was. It was. It helped me, you know, cross that hump. And so had to relive it. But I feel like it just kind of freed me because it made me realize, girl, you really are transparent. Like, I always wanted to be all the way real with people. Mm-hmm. But some, you know, we have different things that happen to us where we'll put a wall up. Like, yeah. Nope, you can't get to this area right here. But I think this book freed me. And so I know what it's like to be transparent. I don't care what nobody thinks. It just is what it is because this is my story. And so at the end of the day, I truly believe that everyone, we all have a story in some capacity. We all have a story. But do you have the courage to share?
Right.
And that's the thing. And initially, now, don't get me wrong. Initially, I was concerned about what people would think. What they're going to think of me, how are they going to treat me after this? But I'm telling you, since I wrote the book, I don't regret writing it. I'm not ashamed of anything. And people have just been embracing, you know, like, man, I would have never knew that you went through this. So it takes courage to share your story.
Yeah,
it takes lots of courage. But at the end of the day, your obedience to God has to outweigh the opinions of others.
Yeah.
Period.
I think I'm glad that you said that. That was the next point. It's like taking those steps, because I know I'm going to just share this. Like, I've always had this voice in my head saying, like, tell stories. Ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be like a writer and tell stories. And as I got older, I kind of strayed away from that. And then it turned into music and sharing stories through music and then photo and video. And so I'm sharing stories through photo and video and like back to audio and stuff. But it's like, I know that it's my purpose to help people put their stories out. Like that is what I'm here to do. And my brain works in a million ways. She can tell you, my wife can tell you. She was making fun of me the other day because it was like, I started playing video games again. And it's like, you're just going to do this for a week and then put it down and pick up something else. And I was But it's like,
he wanted to go spend a lot of money on
it. Not a lot of money. Not a lot of money. But that's beside the point. The point was like, I bounce between music, audio, photo, and video. And doing this podcast, like doing it this way, this time, because I've started like three or four, but this time I really feel it in my spirit that it's going to work. And she's laughing because I'm getting excited about it. But like, I really think it's going to work because the first step was me talking to a guy at work. I'd heard that he had an inspirational story. And I was like, oh, I really want to hear him talk about that. And so I felt it. I was like, ask him to like, just record it. And when I asked him, it wasn't supposed to be this podcast thing. It was just supposed to be like us getting coffee. And then it turned into that. And then while I was interviewing him, a lyric came out and was like, oh, you guys are doing an interview or whatever? And then I was like, this is it. I was like, this is... We met each other at the same place. Like at the place where I did the first interview. And so I was like, this is nothing but God. And so like I was like, all right, I'll do the interview with a lyric. And then a lyric introduced me to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, once that happened, like once that connection was made, I was like, this is supposed to happen. I was like, there's too many things lining up.
Yes. And you don't have to make it. This is the other thing about things lining up when you know that you're in the will of God. You do not have to run behind people.
No.
I tell people all the time, stop running behind men and walk with God. Hey, look at me. I'm over here. You do not have to do that. There has never been a time, and this is just my story, there has never been a time where I had to reach out and ask somebody, do you need a speaker?
Mm-hmm.
All the speaking that I've done has been because someone word of mouth. Oh, I know someone who can do this, and people will refer you.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to run behind people. You don't have to try to make something happen. Just do what you do.
Right.
And I love that because
I'm pretty sure when you, like, you want this to be successful, obviously. You wanted it to be successful because it's your baby. But, like, the way that things lined up for it to be what it has become.
It's good. It's my
boy. It's, like, just taking those steps. Like, just taking the baby step, doing the next thing, help propel it to where it is.
Even with the cover of this book, let me tell you, this is February now. February, yeah, 2017. The book launch was on the 25th of that month. So the first week, I still did not have anyone to design the cover of this book. And so long story short, I remember this was a Sunday. I had left church and I woke up that morning. I was just kind of unsettled because I was like, oh my God, I don't have anybody to decorate. Yeah. Da, da, da. I know nothing about decorating. That's just not what I do. And I remember I was on the way to Joann to go pick up some fabric. What kind of fabric? I have no idea. I don't know. But I was on the way there and I said, now, God, you told me to do this. You told me to write this book. I need you. This is what I'm saying in the car. I need you to help me find today somebody to decorate and somebody to fix the cover of my book. Period. I go into Joann's. I'm looking for fabric. I'm picking up all this stuff. I'm like, "You, what are you going to do with this?" So I go ask one of the reps. I said, listen, do you know anybody who can decorate, you know, do event decorating? And she was like, yeah, I know somebody online. Call them. I said, mm-mm. I need somebody I can reach out and touch. I don't have enough time for that online stuff. I need somebody I can touch. She said, oh, I know somebody. His name is Joe. He's right there at the front. So I start walking out the store. Holy Spirit's like, go back in and go see Joe. So I go see Joe and I was like, hey, Joe, my name is Kimberly Spool. Da, 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 da. I'm looking for somebody who can decorate my event for me. He was like, oh, yeah, cool. And I was like, man, I wish I had somebody who can design a cover of my book. He was like, book covers. Oh, I did plenty of them. I can do that too. So before I left Joann, everything that I needed was found in that one person. Now, you cannot tell me that's not God. So, yes, I was frustrated. You go through times and periods of frustration because it's uncertainty there and you don't know how things are going to come together. You're like, okay, I'm running out of time, but God's timing is perfect. It is perfect. And so Joe still designing this stuff for me today. So he designed the cover. Teresa Alvarez, she took the picture for me. She was an amazing photographer, but I'm telling you, and then it was so easy working with him. He asked me, as far as the cover is concerned, I told him I like purple. He was like, do you like flowers? I said, yeah. And he came up with it, made a few revisions, and it was done. Mm-hmm. I met him. I'm saying, just easy. Just easy. It wasn't a struggle. And so that's another thing. That's how you know it's God.
Right.
I'm just telling, just lining up. I can call Joe. I need a flyer. I need you to come through. And guess what? He gonna come through for me. And so it's mind blowing. It's amazing.
Where is this available at?
So this is Grace for Purpose is available on Amazon, and I also have the ebook. The journal is on Amazon as well as the Grace for Purpose journal. And then you can also order it from my website. Now, through the website is where you can get the autographed copy. Mm-hmm. And every book that leaves my hands, I sign them. I've sold over 630 books and I self-publish. And so that's nothing but God. But doing vending and getting out there, it just opens up doors and people want it.
Yeah, people. I think people do want it. Like, obviously, you sold the books. People want it. I don't mean to keep you forever. If you have anything else you want to say, any closing words or anything to wrap it up?
Well, first, I just want to thank you for the opportunity. I think it's always, is this something different about when things aren't scripted, when you don't know what's going to be asked of you? And so there's just a different flow, which I can appreciate. I think you did an amazing job, even though, you know, you're saying you're not good with transition. You know, this is a part of the growing process. So just wanted to encourage you to continue to go forward and you continue to support him and fill in the gaps. That was a beautiful thing, like, tag you in.
It's always like, I never know if I want to come because it's like with Alaric, I ended up going. I don't know why I ended up going, but I'm glad I did because I struggle with my faith already. And he helped me a little bit. And then coming here today, it helps me. So it does help me.
Oh, good.
So, she wasn't going to come today.
Yeah, really? I was just going to lay in my bed until he was done.
Really? I'm glad you came.
In my house, like, you've been in bed all day, just go. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was like,
yeah, so just grateful for the opportunity and just excited to see, you know, what God is going to do for you as he continues to divinely connect people to you. And so I'm going to do my best to send people your way as well, just to help you, because a lot of people have helped me. And a lot of times it'll be people that you don't know who support you, people who are watching you that you don't even know of, who support you. And that's kind of been my story as well. And so it'd be selfish of me not to send for some people to you. I can't make them connect, right, but I will definitely refer them. So I'm excited. But I think that's all I have.
Well, awesome. I want to thank you again for agreeing to do this, meeting up here, sharing your story, talking about the book, just going on this wild, crazy conversation that's been all over the place. But that's what we're here for. I mean, like I say at the beginning of this, it's about sharing a story. At the beginning of the podcast, I said it's about story, motivation, and learning. And I feel like we hit all of those things in this conversation. At some point. I mean, I learned something. And I'm definitely motivated. Like, just the notes that we took, I mean, that's just good stuff. So one last time, where can people find you?
So you can find me on Facebook, Kimberly Spruill. My last name is spelled S as in Sam, P as in Paul, R-U-I-L-L. I'm also on Instagram at Graced with a D for Purpose 5.
Awesome.
And then my website is www.gracedwithadforpurpose.com.
So if you want to get in touch with Kimberly, make sure you reach out to her. All of the links and stuff will be in the show notes, so you guys be sure to check that out. Thank you again for being a part of this.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Thank you for listening to It's Larry G Radio, a podcast centered around story, motivation, and learning. I hope you enjoyed hearing this story, and I hope it motivated you or you learned something new. Please consider subscribing or leaving a comment or review to let me know what you think. If you'd like more information about our guests or their work, check the show notes. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or would like to reach out, please email me at itslarrygcreations@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Larry G, and you can believe that.